science.
Time to sift through the latest science news and sort fact from fiction. And to help me do that, it's a mission, an important mission, is Joseph Milton. He's from the Australian Science Research Centre. Hello.
Hi, Patricia. It's Media Centre, but I'll forgive you that.
It is, actually. It absolutely is.
I've only been doing this for years.
Inaccurately written in front of me, but as it came out of my mouth, I thought, I think I've said the wrong thing, and I have. Oh. All right. This week we found a new species of extinct human. How was that discovery made?
That's right. So this is a cave in the Philippines, actually, and they stumbled across this stuff because about 15, 20 years ago, a graduate student was looking for evidence of early farming in the area. It's an island called Luzon. And he kept digging. He kept digging down, and he eventually came across some really interesting remains. So they found 7 teeth, a couple of hand bones, 3 foot bones, which they think came from adults of this new human, which is called Homo luzonensis. And they found 1 thigh bone as well, which they think comes from a kid.
Wow. What characteristics differentiate this particular species from others? I mean, you mentioned what they found, but how is it so different?
Well, the foot and hand bones make it look like they're adapted for climbing trees. So it's a bit like these guys who were probably very small, probably less than 4 feet, that they may have been sort of slightly intermediate between us and apes. They could still had that tree climbing ability, but they've got other features that are just like us.
Wow, incredible. All right, let's move to this other one because it's good. This next item, it is now the future, Joseph. So where are my flying cars, my electric flying cars?
Yeah, and your jetpack as well. Where's that? That's what I'm asking.
I've been waiting for this stuff.
But yeah, this was a study that came out and they're looking at how efficient flying taxis would be. They'd be vertical takeoff and landing things, so a bit like giant drones, if you like. And they were comparing them with driving to work or driving to work in a normal car or in an electric car. And they found that whether or not the flying taxi is more efficient depends a lot on how far you're going. So if you're going 100 kilometres, yep, it's more efficient to get in your flying taxi. But if it's a shorter trip than 35 Ks, then it's still going to be more efficient to even with a petrol or diesel car. Now, my commute's about 13 kilometres. So, I'm going to have to stick with the road for now.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is that I can't really justify popping down to the shops in a flying car, but I could go on a road trip.
Yeah, that's right. So a 100-kilometre trip they looked at, and it's a good deal more efficient, especially if you've got a few people in the taxi, because when we're in our cars, we tend to be on our own or with just one other person.
Okay, so this last story starts out ordinary. A woman has given birth to a baby boy. But what's the twist here? What happens after that?
Well, this is really a world-first baby, because this is the first baby born to a mum who'd had a womb transplant. And that surgery was performed partially by a robot.
How did that come about?
Well, so it's first of all, it's not actually, you know, an artificial intelligence or anything like that. It's basically a set of robot arms, and they're operated by human surgeons. But it just allows them to make incredibly precise cuts and movements. So it means less damage to the body. And less bleeding, and then less time in hospital afterwards recovering. But the only bit they can do at the moment with the robot is taking the womb out of the donor. They can't actually put it into the recipient, but they're hoping that will come next.
So is this the only example of a baby born after a uterus transplant?
No, there's 15 babies now born after a uterus transplant. 9 of those in Sweden, which is where this woman gave birth. So they've been real pioneers there. So there have been a few, but this is the first time that part of that surgery has been done by a robot. And it's quite exciting from the point of view of, you know, being able to do surgery remotely. So with this kind of setup, the surgeon doesn't even have to be in the same country as the patient, and they can work through these robotic arms.
That's pretty incredible technology. Where next can it take us? I mean, what sort of opportunities does it provide for the future?
Well, I think what they're looking at doing next is trying to expand it so they can actually insert the transplanted organs using the robotic system as well. But I think one of the most exciting things about it is this kind of possibility of remote surgery. So you could have, you know, the greatest surgeon in the world in a completely different continent performing surgery through these robots, which is pretty amazing.
It is totally amazing. I'm going to say the Australian Science Media Centre this time, okay?
Thanks,
Are you
Patricia.
Happy about that? I don't like to upset you. Joseph Milton there. He's an evolutionary biologist and a journo, and now he's at the Australian Science Media Centre. This is RN Drive.